Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, what a joy to be joined by you, brothers and sisters, so many of you from throughout the country. Let us know where you're from, and please click share on this video so we can get even more. We want to pray for, I'm talking about, pray for the nation and pray for all of our needs. What a great presidency we have been through these last 4 years. Nothing like it. And as time goes on, we're going to learn more and more how that's true. Some people who are blinded at the moment, you know, only discover later in hindsight what they were living through. And we have been living through really, really an historic moment in America. And we're going to continue to build on those accomplishments. That's one of the reasons we have to call them to mind. But I was with President Trump the other day, together with many other people, at the Conservative Political Action Conference, just 45 minutes from here at Priests for Life over in Orlando. And oh boy, was there energy there and enthusiasm, conviction, determination, strength, ready to move forward in prayer and in action for our country. President Trump, he has not grown tired. He is ready and active and pushing back against the evils going on in our nation, pushing back against the Democrats. He's not going to stop. Neither are we. And we're going to devote tonight in particular to prayer, delving into scripture a little bit, and praying together. So would you join me in doing so? And to set the tone here, I want to, I'll open with a prayer, but then I want to show you a video that you, if you watch my programs regularly, you've seen it already, but if you have seen it, well, I'm sure you agree with me that it's worth seeing again and again, because it's a video that was put together in President Trump's reelection campaign to highlight his accomplishments, which is something I'm always reminding people to do, and showing the promise of his presidency. Well, the promise of his presidency moving forward, in other words, to build on the accomplishments that he made, continues to be a promise, because we have to continue to build on it in various ways. Right now, we have to play a lot of defense, and we have to point out a lot of the bad things that are happening. But in pointing those out, we're laying the groundwork for people rallying together with us to make things different. So let's start with prayer, and then we'll show the video, and then we'll go into more scripture and prayer after that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let us turn first of all to the Father and use the words that Jesus gave us as the model for all prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the United States of America. Whether we live here or whether we are joining tonight in prayer from other parts of the world, we know that this is an exceptional nation to which you have given a special mission for the world. We know that for better or for worse, the trends in this nation, the tone that it sets, the moral convictions with which it leads, move the whole world in either a better or a worse direction. We know, Lord, that with the strength of this economy and the strength of this military, we have such an influence. And Lord, that we stand as a bastion of freedom and as the last great defense against so many wicked forces in this world that would destroy national boundaries and initiate a globalism which is nothing other than a false and sick gospel. Lord, we thank you for the truth that our founding fathers were immersed in, a truth about you, Lord God, a truth about judgment, a a truth about mercy, a truth about freedom, a truth about life, a truth about morality. We know our founders were convinced that without the solid framework that your word provides, O God, we would not be able to govern ourselves. So we pray tonight that that wisdom will be given to us that comes from your word, so that as citizens, we the people can in fact govern ourselves by making wise choices about our leaders. And when those in leadership are going in the wrong direction, Lord, that they would not be able to take a step or say a word or implement any policy without finding us right there, standing in front of them, speaking truth and defending what is right. Lord, we must not be silent. We must not be absent. We must not grow weary. This is the time to speak up, to stand up, to act up. This is the moment. So, Lord God, like the apostles and prophets from of old, we will arise and we will speak in your name for life and for freedom, for family and for faith, for the United States of America. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the presidency of Donald Trump, the fighting spirit that you have bestowed upon him, the clarity of vision, the love for this country that he continues to manifest to this very day, to this very hour. He has not grown tired. He has not changed in his conviction. Neither must we. Thank you, Lord, for this moment in history. Let us continue to build on it, to defend it, and to give its promise to our children and theirs. We pray in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I want to show you a video, and I want you to watch it prayerfully, knowing that all true leadership comes from God, that all good accomplishments flow from his hands. I want you to watch it with the words in the back of your mind: praise God, from whom all blessings flow. He has blessed this nation at its founding. He has blessed this nation over the 4 years of President Trump's administration. And God hasn't changed his mind about America. He's going to bless it still through you and me. But we've got to take the vision. And the vision is captured in a video like this, friends. Let's watch and be inspired. And then we'll continue to delve into prayer and God's word.
It's one of the great American success stories. A builder who left his mark on skylines around the world. A businessman with an extraordinary ability to communicate directly with the American people. A leader who grew tired of politicians, leading our country down a road to ruin. He didn't do it for money or power or fame. He had all that. He did it because of his love for our great country.
We will make America great again.
Donald J. Trump beat the odds, smashed the establishment, and won the presidency for the American people.
Donald Trump has defeated Hillary Clinton to become president-elect.
Hillary Clinton has called Donald Trump to concede the race.
It has been a stunning night. It has been a historic night.
Washington, D.C., the establishment is terrified, and they should be. They were all of them wrong, making this one of the greatest upsets in American political history.
Immediately upon taking office, President Trump changed things. But change threatened the establishment, and the establishment fought back. Democrat obstruction, phony investigations, the dishonest media, an incredible 92% of stories are negative. No president has seen anything like it, despite everything they threw at him. President Trump delivered for the American people, and he delivered like never before. Building the strongest economy in American history, 7 million new jobs, the lowest ever unemployment for Black and Hispanic Americans, ending the Biden era of lopsided trade deals that sent our factories overseas, passing the historic USMCA, taking on China, winning the trade war, protecting and strengthening Medicare and Social Security, lowering the cost of insulin, delivering the first real drop in drug prices in 50 years, restoring our military, fixing the VA, bringing our troops home, and taking the world's deadliest terrorists off the battlefield. Soleimani, al-Baghdadi, ISIS, brought to justice. Moving America's embassy to Jerusalem, a new era of strength and solidarity with our ally Israel. Negotiating a historic peace deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. Securing our border. Miles of new border wall being built. Illegal immigration dropped to the lowest point in a decade. Tackling the coronavirus head on. Banning travel from China. Mobilizing government, business, and the American people to manufacture masks, ventilators, and medical supplies. And launching Operation Warp Speed. An unprecedented effort to develop a vaccine to eradicate the coronavirus from the face of the earth in record time. President Trump has accomplished more for the American people in 4 years than any other president in history. And in his second term, he will lead America to even greater heights, draining the swamp, rebuilding the economy, bringing back millions of jobs, creating 10 million new jobs in 10 months. New opportunities for all Americans, not just those at the top. Lowering drug costs. Expanding access to high-quality health care for every American family. Defending America's police. Restoring law and order to our cities. Stopping illegal immigration and protecting American families. And ending America's reliance on China once and for all. Bringing back jobs and factories. Making medicine and products in America again. President Trump will rebuild America's infrastructure, renew hope and our entrepreneurial spirit for a new generation, and restore the American dream. It won't be easy, never pretty. The swamp will continue to fight him every step of the way. But under President Trump, our families will thrive. Our incomes will rise. Our communities will be kept safe. Our factories will flourish. Our flag will fly high. Our country will soar. And we will make America great again.
That's it right there, friends. Anybody who's not inspired by that, any American who doesn't say that's what we have to fight for, they're completely clueless. They've lost, I don't know, they've lost everything. They don't see it. So we want to pray for enlightenment here. We pray with gratitude when we look at something like that. And if you're inspired, you are seeing what the rest of us see. If there's anybody that doesn't inspire, that itself is the judgment right there. Upon them, that they have absolutely no idea what it means to have a great and strong country. No idea whatsoever. Completely clueless. So let's pray for enlightenment. Enlightenment, because when we see that those are the kind of goals and policies that we need to build, and that's the kind of leadership we need to foster and to encourage and to elect, then we're on the right track. Let's pray. Father, send the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, the Spirit does not simply talk to us in heaven. The Spirit talks to us on earth. The Spirit doesn't simply talk to us, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, about the New Jerusalem. It talks to us about the new New York and the new Atlanta, the new Los Angeles, the new Memphis, Tennessee. He talks about the newness that can be in every town and city and village and community and family and church and individual. The newness that you bring, O God, to people who love freedom, who love prosperity, who love faith and life. The freedom, Lord God, that this President Donald Trump has fought for, pointed the way to, and advanced us in. Lord God, we thank you that we understand these things. And we pray for our fellow citizens who don't. We pray also for those in political positions who don't. Lord God, we want to pray tonight. We want to make a prayer out of the slogan that has been used by so many people in this campaign to drain the swamp. Lord God, it's just another way of saying what your holy word says, to resist evil. That's what it means. Lord, we who are united with your spirit, we hate evil. We hate corruption. Your word tells us to expose it. And your word also says the Lord loves those who hate evil. We do hate it, Lord. We hate the corruption and the deception, the ambition, heartless ambition that cares nothing about human lives or about freedom, but only wants power, power, power for itself. Your word identifies that as the thinking of the evil one. Your word identifies that as the essence of sin. Power, power, me, me, me. I don't care who I have to deceive, who I have to trample. This is the swamp. This is the swamp. They live in darkness. They act in darkness. They make every decision under the cover of darkness. They are sick. And Lord God, we ask you to free us. Free us from that. Free us from that corruption. Free us from it today, Lord God. And every level of government in Washington, D.C., in the White House, in the Capitol, in state houses, governor's mansions, and state legislatures. Lord, we know we have a lot of people of light serving in positions throughout our nation in government. We have many who are your disciples and act like it and believe it. Lord, let their light shine and scatter the darkness of the swamp. Let their light shine and expose corruption to the light of day, that those who engage in it may reform, may repent, may be removed from power. Lord, for this we pray. We pray it earnestly tonight. We need your hand to move. We want your spirit to move. Confront darkness with light, falsehood with truth, corruption with grace. Lord, we want to thank you for President Trump. We want to thank you, Lord, for the governance that he has given to this nation and for the marvelous team that you gave him to accomplish these many things. A team of advisors who put their expertise at the service of each of us. We want to thank you, Lord, for the spirit of leadership with which President Trump unleashed the expertise of these teams and enabled them to work for the good of our nation and of our families and of our future. Lord, we ask for continued strength for President Trump, for he continues to speak and to work for the greatness of this nation. We thank you for the commitment that he has shown and the progress that he made to eliminate corruption from the seat of power in Washington, to secure the borders and strengthen the military of our nation, to frustrate those who plan terrorist attacks on our homeland, to foster law and order in our communities, to protect our citizens from the current pandemic, to restore and strengthen our economy, to promote honesty and fairness in our trade agreements, to appoint to our courts judges who faithfully apply our Constitution and laws as they are written, to defend the lives of the unborn from the violence of abortion, to improve our healthcare system, to properly care for our veterans, to defend the sacred heritage and safety of Israel for the good of all our allies, to promote and defend the freedom of all citizens in the United States and throughout the world to live according to their religious beliefs. Lord, send your spirit to President Trump, that he may glorify you in every success and find consolation from you in every sorrow. Protect his family and enable him to continue to work each day, along with the tens of millions of Americans who support him, to make America great again. Father, we trust in your providence, which from its founding has guided and blessed the United States of America. Grant that this trust may grow and be rewarded as we live our calling to be good citizens on earth and faithful citizens of your heavenly kingdom. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, there's a passage in Scripture that helps us understand what God, you know, many people are asking me, what is God asking us to do at this moment? It seems so unstable. It seems so strange. Why is it that there are people in power who are working to destroy the beautiful principles and the great accomplishments that we've been witness to in these recent years? Well, I think one of the things that God is doing to us is what he has done to his followers all through the centuries. There are times when he takes away the physical consolations that we rely on and brings us to the point where we just have to worship him and say, Lord, you've got to know what you're doing, because we certainly don't, but we worship you and we trust in you and we rely on you and we know that we still have you, oh God. Sometimes he takes away everything else to make us see that we have him, and because of that, to continue our strong efforts, which will not abate, which will not slow down, which will not apologize in any way. And the passage I'm thinking about is about King David. You remember when he sinned? He saw Bathsheba, was attracted to her, took her into his residence. She conceived a child through him. And then he said, well, what do I do now? She's married. And then he put her husband, Uriah, in a dangerous place in battle so that he would be killed. David took Bathsheba to himself. The child was born. But then the prophet Nathan said to him, you have really committed a big sin. And that's where we pick up in the 12th chapter of the second book of Samuel, starting in the 13th verse. Let me just read this. And you'll see the connection with what's going on in America today, where we say, Lord, what is going on? What do I do? Listen to this passage. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan answered David, the Lord for his part has forgiven your sin. You shall not die. But since you have utterly spurned the Lord by this deed, the child born to you must surely die. Then Nathan returned to his house. The Lord struck the child that the wife of Uriah had borne to David, and it became desperately ill. David besought God for the child. He kept a fast, retiring for the night to lie on the ground clothed in sackcloth. The elders of his house stood beside him, urging him to rise from the ground, but he would not, nor would he take food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants, however, were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, when the child was alive, we spoke to him, but he would not listen to what we said. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do some harm. But David noticed that his servants were whispering among themselves and realized that the child was dead. He asked his servants, is the child dead? They replied, yes, he is. Rising from the ground, David washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. Then he went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. He returned to his own house, where at his request, food was set before him, and he ate. His servant said to him, what is this that you are doing? While the child was living, you fasted and wept and kept vigil. Now that the child is dead, you rise and take food. And he replied, while the child was living, I fasted and wept, thinking perhaps the Lord will grant me the child's life. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. Then David comforted his wife, Bathsheba. He went and slept with her, and she conceived and bore him a son who was named Solomon. And the Lord loved him. Well, friends, the dynamic of that reading that I think God is trying to teach us now here in America under this Democrat administration and things being destroyed every day that we worked hard for, that we prayed against. How hard did you pray during the election, right? We prayed together. And we were getting many others to pray, and we worked like crazy. David prayed for the life of that child. And he worked like crazy in the spiritual realm. And he lay on the ground in sackcloth and didn't eat. What did God want to lead him to? He wanted to lead him to the point where he worshiped him. David said, oh, I can't bring the child back now. God has permitted this thing to happen. I can't bring the child back. So I will get up, I will eat, I will dress, I will go to the temple and worship. He worshiped him. Brothers and sisters, you and I must worship him. And what does that mean? We bow down before the Lord and we say, okay, Lord, we don't understand what's going on here, but we know you. See, sometimes, brothers and sisters, the only thing we know in a situation is the God in whom we trust, that he's there, that he's with us, that he has our best interests at heart, that he's protecting us. We know him. And sometimes he wants to bring us just to that point where we are literally on our knees before him and saying, Lord, we are worshiping you. This is not a worshiping that we do with a sense of discouragement or despair. Not at all. He's precisely asking us to come to a point of greater trust and greater courage and greater strength, greater awareness that no matter what we don't have, we have him. This is not just an idea for consolation. This is the truth of things. We have him. America has him. And he has us. He gave David an even greater son who became the king and who was given wisdom beyond anyone else. Solomon, King Solomon. Our best days are yet ahead. President Trump just said it again when I heard him speak on Sunday. Our greatest days are yet ahead. This movement has only just begun. You saw this, that beautiful video. So many of those accomplishments are still in place. They're still in place. The Democrats, of course, they don't know how to govern a hen house. They're incapable of governing. They don't want to govern. And shame on those who vote for them. Shame on them. They should be asking our forgiveness, as I've said many, many times. And I'll continue to say again, until they change, until they repent deeply, they need to be asking our forgiveness. Everybody who voted for them, again, how clueless can they possibly be? And so they, in their darkness, and they really have a darkness of mind. And you know where the darkness is the worst, brothers and sisters? Among the clergy who support these clowns. They're the darkest of the dark. They're the blindest of the blind. And you guys know who I'm talking about. Some of those clergy might even be watching some of these videos. You guys better watch out. Look up to the sky and say, Lord, have mercy. Because you are the blindest of the blind, the darkest of the dark, the most, you're the most pitiable people in America right now, Let me just say that. The clergy, some of them are priests, some of them are pastors of other denominations. I'm telling you, never has there been a more pitiable group of people in America than the clergy who support the Democrats. Boy, are you guys, boy, do you have a lot to answer for before Almighty God that you think you're serving. Oh, boy, are you deluding yourself. Listen, I don't want to hear a word from you, okay? I don't want to hear a word. Because some of these guys, they try to lecture us. We clergy who support President Trump and all the rest of us. They try to lecture us, and I'll tell you what else they try to do. They try to shut us up. Oh, boy, do I have a word for you. It is not going to work. And some of the deluded, demented people who occasionally come on here because, if they're going to listen to something, they can't listen to Biden. He can't put two sentences together. And he's been running away from the cameras. He's been running away. He's got to go back in the basement. They don't hear two sentences from him that make any sense anyway. So they come sometimes, they come and they listen to me. And they say, oh, but isn't somebody going to stop this priest from saying these things? Hey, well, I just have two words for you. Good luck. Good luck. Because it's not going to happen. We're not going to be silent. In fact, we're going to intensify our voice 15 million times more than it has ever been before. So these people, they're sick. I've said it before. They're demented. They're deluded. And they're the most pitiable people on the planet Earth right now. But you and I have a mission. And you know, when we're in a situation where we see that these people doing harm. They're doing harm to the country. Oh, yeah, let's just open the border. Let's do catch and release. You know, catch and release? It's a ridiculous policy. You know, you capture a violent criminal, a rapist, who knows what crimes they're guilty of, and you capture them. And then they let them go. They release them right back into the neighborhood. It's like, there's no common sense there, friends. There's no common sense. Oh, well, they'll come back in a couple of years for their court date. Yeah, sure they will. Right. Like I say, these people are very pitiable. You know, you got to look at them and shake your head and say, you know, where did they get their right to exercise any kind of leadership? You got it from a Cracker Jack box. That's where they got it from. So we look at these policies that lack all common sense, and they're doing damage to the country. But you know what we say? We say, look, Lord, I'm putting myself in your hands. I am worshiping you because you have not abandoned America. You have not abandoned us. And what he wants us to do at this moment, brothers and sisters, is to have a greater sense of his presence and power than ever before, to realize, you know what? When we have him, we do have everything we need. And that therefore we just renew our conviction as to what is right. And we do everything we can at the present moment. And what we can do at the present moment is a lot. And we're going to continue in prayer here. But what we can do is a lot. We can take, like that video that we saw, those accomplishments. And we have the special website, prolifepresident.com. Have we read it? Have we reread it? Have we continued studying it, memorizing it, talking to other people about it, researching it? Remember what the other side wants to do. You see, here's where we have the power. The other side was not just interested in removing President Trump from the White House. Listen, here's their goal. They want to remove him from the hearts and minds of the American people. And that you have in your power to stop. Because first of all, you will not let the principles he has spoken for and fought for and continues to fight for, and the accomplishments he has made, and the common sense sound policies he has implemented, you won't let those escape your mind and heart. And you'll pass them on to your children. You'll talk to your fellow citizens about them. It starts there, knowing and talking, spreading and writing about and understanding, and then building upon them, defending them and building upon them. So defending them, many of you receive our action alerts, stopabortionnow.org. We've been sending them out. We've been giving you marching orders, and I know many of you have carried it out. If you haven't, you can start now, stopabortionnow.org, see the action alerts, because every step, a lot of dangerous bills being voted on in the Congress, and this is not the program. We'll go into that in detail. We have other programs where we do that, and we can fight back, and we have to raise our voices. Even if we can't stop a particular action, we can certainly make sure that they don't carry it out without a strong voice of protest, because that's how America then lays the foundation for changing those policies in the future. We have no choice but to go forward in that way. So we do it, and we do it joyfully and with strength, with a deeper faith than we ever had before, because we say, Lord, I'm worshiping you. Your will be done. You are the Lord. You are in charge. So let's turn to him in prayer. Let's just take a moment in silent prayer, because, you know, we can say a lot of words, but God also speaks to us in the silence. And we need the silence in order to help us understand the words. So, Lord, we come before you now, and we want to spend a moment here in silence. Speak to us in your spirit. Speak to us in our hearts. Come to us with your grace. Console us with your presence. And come also, Lord, with that same powerful grace to President Trump and his family and his advisors, because, Lord, he is every single day working and making plans and committing and recommitting to working for this country, to working for good candidates, to working for good legislation, and, Lord, perhaps indeed for running again for president of this nation. So bless him with your continued wisdom and strength. And speak to us now, Lord, in the silence of our hearts. Another moment when God's people were brought to the point where they said, we have to worship him. We have nothing else but the Lord, was when Jerusalem, the holy city, was destroyed. People were taken away into exile. The temple was burned. And the book of Lamentations expresses the deep grief of the people in this moment. And yet in the middle of this incredible, read the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, the incredible grief that is expressed right in the middle of it, are these words. Favor, this I will call to mind, my reason to have hope. The favors of the Lord are not exhausted. His mercies are not spent. They are renewed each morning. So great is his faithfulness. My portion is the Lord, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Good is the Lord to the one who waits for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good to wait, to hope in silence for the saving help of the Lord. It is good to hope in silence for the saving help of the Lord. Silence, not only because it is valuable in and of itself, but because sometimes we don't know what words are the right ones to say. But that doesn't mean that the Lord is any further away. So we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you for the example of your people. Lord, we, your people today in America, take the example of your people in times past. We take the example of David losing that child and then just worshiping you, acknowledging that you are in charge. We take the example of your people when the very city that in which you dwelt, the temple that you established, the land that you gave them, they were ripped off it by the Babylonians. Lord, we can't imagine that grief. And yet they expressed hope in you. And Lord, we can't imagine the grief of those disciples on that first Good Friday. They all deserted you and fled. And then the crucifixion. Lord, we can't imagine the grief. And yet their hope and their trust was likewise rewarded greatly in the resurrection. Lord, we are not deterred. We are not slowing down. We are not losing conviction. Not in the least. We are moving forward 100 times stronger. We are united. The truth is on our side. We embrace it. We proclaim it. We teach it to our children. We speak it to our lawmakers. And Lord, we connect with our friends, so many in power right now in various positions of government, are your followers and are lovers of freedom and faith, supporters of President Trump and of the vision and of the accomplishments he has laid out. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. We give you thanks for this time together of prayer. We lift up one another and we glorify your name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and it will be forever. Amen. Well, I hope this time of prayer is helpful for you, friends. Spread it to others. Share this video. Let them know what we're saying, what we're doing. Again, prayer and also action. StopAbortionNow.org. And besides seeing our videos here, by the way, and in all these different channels where you're watching, you can also access us wherever you might be. If you have Siri and Google or Alexa, just ask them to play the End Abortion podcast. And we are there. And they'll go right to it, and you can call us up wherever you may be and listen in the car. Or all these broadcasts are also put on our podcast. So the End Abortion podcast. Ask Siri or Google or Alexa, and you'll be able to catch us even there. So we try to be everywhere where you are and get this message of hope out. Well, we've had a great audience here tonight. Thank you for tuning in from so many different places of the world. And one of you was saying, I needed this. And we all do. And we all rejoice that we are able to share it with one another. So thank you, friends, for all that you do. Let me give you the Lord's blessing. And then we'll be back with you for Mass tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Well, may the Lord bless you and strengthen you and send you his Spirit give you his grace and protection, answer all your prayers, and make you strong defenders of life and of this great nation and of freedom. May he bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Cavone here of Priests for Life. We will talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.